Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. It's been nearly 2 years since Michael Brown, an African-American teenager, was shot by a white police officer in Ferguson, Missouri. Brown's death touched off rioting in the town and highlighted some of the issues facing both African-Americans and police departments nationwide. It also saw the growth of several symbols, including the Black Lives Matter movement. This week, we're going to delve a little deeper into those symbols and what they mean for civil rights in America. Symbols and civil rights on this week's American Cafe. Maybe you've seen the photo. 35-year-old nurse and mother Aisha Evans stands serenely in front of two Baton Rouge, Louisiana police officers in full body armor. Behind the officers, another line of similarly clothed police stands in front of the Baton Rouge police station. That protest was in response to the police shooting of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge. The protesters were black, white, and brown. So were the police. A week later, three Baton Rouge law enforcement officers, including Montrell Jackson, who was black, were gunned down by Gavin Long, a black man who posted several videos about fighting back against police mistreatment. The Baton Rouge incident came just days after five Dallas, Texas police officers were murdered while protecting a Black Lives Matter demonstration. That attack was also in retaliation for two police-involved shootings in Baton Rouge and Minnesota in which African-American men died. The deaths of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge and Philando Castile outside Minneapolis were also broadcast on social media, with Castile's death streamed live on Facebook. These incidents have added to the tension between police departments and African-Americans, especially young African-American men. But does how they are portrayed make any difference? To find out more, I spoke with Professor Gordon Coonfield of Villanova University in Philadelphia. He said that images and symbols, including logos, slogans, and photographs, often have a more immediate and more lasting impact than a real solution.
These images with social media, these images, these symbols, these icons become immediate, almost instantaneous in their ability to reach literally millions of people. So the crisis spreads with almost immediately, but the machinery for sort of addressing and bringing some kind of resolution for these conflicts drags on for years.
The Black Lives Matter movement started in 2012 after the shooting death of Florida teenager Trayvon Martin. The shooting of Michael Brown 2 years later helped to expand the movement. Brown's shooting was followed by the deaths of black men at the hands of mostly white police officers in Baltimore, Maryland, North Charleston, South Carolina, Cleveland, Ohio, and Baton Rouge and Minnesota. Joseph Anthony of the Hero Marketing Group, which focuses on millennials, including groups like Black Lives Matter, says that movements like Black Lives Matter sometimes have to use stark imagery and strong colors in order to get the necessary attention to bring about social change.
Sometimes in order to drive a point home, you have to make people uncomfortable with what you're saying. And I think at this point that they're achieving that in droves. And I think you can't get anyone to pay attention or to listen, let alone react or enact change, unless you first create a dialogue. And sometimes that dialogue has to begin with making people uncomfortable.
On the other side of this issue, the Blue Lives Matter movement came out of the killings of two New York police officers in their cruiser in 2012. Blue Lives Matter uses the symbol of a thin blue line to represent police as the public's defense against chaos. But is the message getting across? John Horvat is an author and commentator. He says that police have a right to protect themselves, but adds that images of armored policemen can sometimes harm efforts to begin dialogue with citizens. He cites Dallas Police Chief David Brown's efforts as some that have helped lessen the suspicion and hatred.
I don't think it's fair to say that they should, shed their body armor, but they definitely should have in mind that image is very important, and I think they can probably, some of these police chiefs, like Police Chief Brown, have done really brilliant work in reaching out to the community.
Ken Smith is an associate professor of graphic design at Radford University in Virginia. He says the big struggle for both sides is not the symbols they choose, but who they are.
The thing that it's symbolizing has to be more powerful than the other thing that's being symbolized. The logo or the symbol itself is not really going to do anything. It's the association that you make in your mind with the symbol that makes it powerful.
Professor Gordon Coonfield of Villanova told me the images used in both professional and social media can either aggravate the issue or help both sides to find solutions.
I think, in other words, the optics of this all reinforce the agonistic nature of this. This is a conflict, but there are a lot of ways that we could change the tenor of this conflict by changing the way this looks. By changing the way this looks, we change what we do, and by changing what we do, we change what we can say to one another. We open up spaces for us to be able to talk, as I said, across these differences.
Symbols can change based on how people use them. The swastika used to be a religious symbol. Make America Great Again will forever be associated with a political campaign. I Have a Dream echoes down the halls of history. An issue this big can't be handled in one podcast. Some of the top leaders in our country have struggled to come up with solutions. I want to know what you think. Let me know your opinion by posting a question or comment on our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. That's also where you'll find links to all the interviews I did for this story, and I welcome your comments on them, too. Until next time, I'm David Byrd in Washington.